Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Tired. How was your holidays?
Busy.
Yeah, did you guys go out of town or?
Yeah, we traveled. We went and saw my family, which is like a 3.5 hour drive, but with our daughter is about a 6 hour drive. And then we went to my husband's family. So it was just like bouncing all over the place and lots of time in the car.
Yeah, goodness. Ugh. It's
What about
so hard
you?
when little. We just stayed home. Yeah. We
That's
don't do
nice.
much travel during holidays just because there's so many of us and most of my kids are in the area.
That's nice.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I used to always go to Florida for Thanksgiving when the kids were little and it was so much hassle.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to travel with kids, especially little ones that have all kinds of stuff you got to bring.
I know. Yeah, so much stuff.
Like we didn't bring any kind of seat or chair for my daughter, and I'm like, now she's like at the point where she likes to be sitting up.
Yeah, that
But
was more work for you guys.
right, so it was like me holding her, like with my family like all took turns holding her and stuff, but like my husband's family, I'm like the designated caregiver while they play with our son, which is nice, but I'm also like, she's also your grandchild.
Were
Why
they that way when he was that little? My dog is snoring so loud. Sorry.
I don't hear it. They sort of, but like he was the only grandchild then, so like they still gave him a lot of attention. And now it's like, I mean, the first thing that they said when they found out she was a girl was, "Well, we don't know what to do with girls because they only had boys." And I'm like,
It'd be like they would be obsessed.
you'd think.
Yeah, weird. Hey, you guys are not editing your names. What's going on right now?
I'll do it. I'll do mine.
My naughty VBAC students, VBAC Labs people.
You've got my full name on there. I got to get that off.
Yeah, I don't. You do. It's your
Oh.
account. Devin, how are you?
Good. Thank you. I had my work name on there. Yeah, good. Hanging in there. Hanging in there.
Tell us how you're doing. What's going on?
Yeah, I had my 38-week appointment this morning, and I mean, they just measure your belly, listen to heartbeat, ask you if anything's wrong, if you're seeing spots in your vision, all is good. I feel pretty good. I'm a little sore today. We got our Christmas tree yesterday, and I actually felt really good yesterday. As far as like the pelvic pain I've been experiencing.
Yeah.
And then today I got out of bed and I was like, oh boy. Okay. So it's kind of wavy, but it's manageable. I'm just taking it slow and doing stretches when I can. And I Googled some stretches to do for it. And it was some that were recommended. I went to a pelvic floor class a little ways back. And so just doing those that are good for me anyway.
Yeah.
And just, I'm starting to get a little bit of anxiety, but not necessarily about birth or labor. It's kind of twofold. And I put this in our little DM, but it's, there's so much sickness going around. And I don't know if I'm like, if it's COVID trauma, because my son was born when the whole country shut down.
Yeah.
Like this part, this almost everything else feels more dangerous, even though in the time of COVID, it felt like, right, the world was ending.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't to us yet, we live in a
Yeah.
really rural area. Like it's just, it wasn't here yet. And now there's everything.
Yeah.
And there's so much, like I had to mute my social media when I was at this point with Donovan, and I'm going to have to do it again because I've got friends with kids with RSV, and they've got this, they've got that. And I just like, I think I have a lot of fear that my son's gonna get sick, and therefore, and I'm the caretaker. Like I take off when he's sick. And then I'm gonna get sick. And then what happens if I'm sick and I'm in labor? And like, I'm just like, that part's kind of really starting to get to me.
Are you coming to the workshop tomorrow night?
I don't know.
Oh, there. So I have Dr. Krupa Playforth is coming.
Okay.
She's That's what she's teaching on.
Okay.
She's a pediatrician, and she's going to give like a 20-minute type of like teaching on having a baby during this season with all the different things, illnesses and viruses and blah, blah, blah. And then she's going to do a Q&A after, but she said she's very like, this is not medical advice.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like hopeful because my son had the flu in October. Then we had COVID 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I don't know if it's possible, but I'm fully convinced he had RSV in August. I mean, we did the whole ER. He had the whole, I mean, they say he has asthma, cold induced, allergy induced related asthma, which we've seen, but like he had no issues with the flu. He had no issues with COVID. And in August, I mean, everything you see in the videos of how to like determine if it's RSV, like that was my son. And they never tested because it was August, you know? And yeah. I guess it may not have been, but I'm going to maybe just tell myself that it wasn't.
It could have been. Yeah, I think it's possible. So
yeah, it was, I mean, it was significant. And we've got breathing treatments at home. He's always had those. And, you know, my friends are, a couple of the friends that I have that are going through this now, their kids aren't in daycare. My son's been sick since he was 10 months, like every 3 weeks, you know, and they're going through this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay, I've done that. I've gotten through that worst, you know, what I think is the worst of what, you know, and I hate to compare myself. And I think that's why I kind of have to mute what's going on and just say, I'm sending you my good vibes, but I also have to separate myself from this for a little bit and just,
Well, and I would really caution you to really nip the what ifs in the bud.
Yeah.
Because, you know, years ago, one of my friends like told me, stop with the what ifs and let's say, even if, mm-hmm. even if you'll handle it.
Right.
You'll figure it out. You'll navigate it. So
yeah.
I would really, when you start finding yourself going down that path, stop it.
Yeah.
And just be like, I am not going there. I'm focusing on this baby's birth, on my family being ready. And then come to that workshop tomorrow night. Like that's exactly why we're doing that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
There's a lot of you guys going through that same.
Is there a workshop on how to be calm that your mother-in-law is going to come stay with your kid when you're in the hospital?
Oh, that's a great title though.
Cause that's another one.
We'll have to, let me think about, if, you know, we did the one setting boundaries or whatever, but let me see if any of my friends in the mental health space can come and talk about specifically, you know, in-laws and navigating.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, even my parents are 3 hours away. So my in-laws are right here, but they're going through a divorce and it's like, oh, they've got a lot going on. And my mother-in-law is going to do it. And she's just very flaky. And I don't think she's going to flake out on doing it. I just like literally I worry that my kid's not going to eat because
I totally understand where you're coming from. There's like something really difficult when someone is unreliable, even mm-hmm. if you know they're there, they're still unreliable and they're there with your kid, mm-hmm. which makes it worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that you could have help her?
Yeah, so I'm basically taping you know, and she, I told her, I was like, I'm gonna leave you lists and, you know, kind of routines and notes and stuff. And she was like, I've done this before, I don't need it. I'm like, right, well, you just watched my kid on Wednesday and he came home completely starving because he had snacks all day. Like,
well, so, and I also want to remind you that 2 days of not eating well is not going to do too much damage.
I know. I have to let go of some of those things.
Yeah. Because
let him eat the junk.
If he has fun with her and he eats fruit snacks for 2 days, you know,
so be it. I know. Yeah. That's what I have to just try to, I mean, I'm just worried about the like,
what about getting,
sorry.
What about getting like Z bars or like ready-made like protein kids bars or things like that, that are like, and then get like from the Dollar Tree, get like a little carry-all and put those healthy snacks in there. How old is he?
He's 2.5.
Yeah. Three. Like that. She can just grab it and give mm-hmm. to him, but make sure they're like snacks that have like value, you know, nutritional value.
Yeah, not like chips and hell of a good. tends to beat them.
Well, and the other thing you could do is make little Ziplocs with like some ham roll-ups and cheese roll-ups and, you know, things that are just easy no-brainers for her, you know.
I'm going to have to do that. And she'll probably scold me later, but it'll be really helpful.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You know,
like you're not already going to be doing a million things to get ready.
Well, that's also kind of like, I'm, you know, I'm feeling good about the birth and, but that it's, and I'm trying not to focus too much on the, like this planning, you know, planning exactly how everything's going to go, because I'm trying to allow this to be as spontaneous as possible and set no expectations, but like, you also literally have to plan everything else.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to struggle. That's really starting to hit me now that I'm almost 39 weeks.
Well, and there's all those emotions of leaving him.
Yeah.
Second child thing too. Well, all right. So your assignment for the week is get rid of the what ifs.
Yep. Okay.
Emily, how are you?
It's been a wild ride with this one. Good. I'm good. My little daughter is wonderful. She's so sweet and happy. But trying to figure out reflux / like food issues with her has been a long journey. Like, I feel like our pediatrician has not been very helpful. We're going to call him again. I mean, like everything you read, she clearly has silent reflux. I'm very curious. I put her down for a nap right before this started. Almost like clockwork at 30 or 40 minutes, I think usually 40, she wakes up. And like when you read, it's usually that's around the time that they're transitioning from deeper sleep to lighter sleep to go like through the sleep cycle again. And so like a lot of what I've read has said that if babies have a gas bubble or like reflux, they wake up when they're in the lighter sleep because they feel it all of a sudden. And she almost every single time we put her down to sleep or for a nap wakes up late clockwork at 30 minutes or 40 minutes or somewhere right in between, but it's almost always exactly right at 30 or 40.
Yeah. And you're nursing her to sleep, I'm assuming.
Yes. Although it also is the same if I nurse her and then my husband will hold her up for sometimes even half an hour. It's like the timer starts as soon as he puts her down.
No matter what.
Yes. And there's not really, at this point, I'm like, sleep habits are out the window because we have to either hold her up to go to sleep or hold her up for like 30 minutes to try to help. And then she's obviously going to fall asleep. So then she's used to falling asleep in people's arms.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes I'm just like, I'm just going to let her drink. And then when she goes to sleep and when she's like really out, I'm going to put her down because it's just exhausting to do the same. Like it's like this all every day. And I totally cut out after the VBAC like reunion thing. I was like, that was like when it dawned on me. I'm like, oh my word. Like, I think she has all these problems. So I cut out all dairy. I've tried to not have soy. Like now I'm like my whole, I'm like not a great eater. So my whole entire world has shifted.
No, I went through the same thing.
Yeah. It's just horrible. Unbelievable.
I literally ate whole grain pasta and marinara like on the regular because it was about the only thing. Like it was so easy and it literally was the only thing I ordered out.
Yeah, you can't order food anywhere because everybody used soybean oil.
Well, and they lie about everything. They don't care. And I would know, like they would tell it, you know, they would say, and then within, you know, 6-8 hours, I knew damn well that something was in there. You know?
Yep.
Like they don't care. They just tell you whatever you want to hear.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, I don't even, the pediatrician pretty much was like, well, try cutting out dairy and see how she does.
Well, thanks for that.
I was like, I've already done that. And so I'm waiting because I know it takes weeks for it to get out of her system.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know what, with dairy, I saw a drastic change within 24 to 48 hours, drastic. So it makes me feel like it may not be dairy.
Well, shoot. And what?
I don't know. I mean, it I don't know. Like, I'm wondering, talking to a sleep specialist, if it just could be transitioning through that light sleep. She's just very sensitive.
Well, she definitely has an issue though, because all of her little gas is very bad smelling.
Yeah, that was a definite sign for me with Grayson.
I had no idea until that VBAC reunion thing. And then somebody said that and I'm like, oh, and why does that smell like that? She's a baby and she's just breastfed. Like, our son didn't have that.
That's how Grayson was too. It was like a grown man. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Like, I would be like saying to my three-year-old, was that you? And he's like, no. I'm like, are you serious? Or are you joking? He's like, no, it was Sissy.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
So that's why I'm like,
I don't know. Like, the one thing is that, have you researched any of the websites that teach on it or any of the recipes or any of the things? Because I say that I had no idea that the milk protein was in so many things.
Yes, I looked into that. So I know like what to look for, even like whey protein. I know, like, yes, because I wanted to make sure I was cutting everything out.
Yeah, it's difficult, but well, I hate it. That stinks. I wonder if there's any like pediatric nutritionists or something that you could do some research.
I was going to ask, like, is this territory at all for a lactation consultant or?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try to call.
Yeah. One. I would talk to her. I mean, you never know what experience they have in it.
Yeah.
I think most of us are way more well-versed in the MSPI at this point. So, you know. All right. Well, hopefully you get some answers.
Yeah. Seems like it's getting better.
That's good.
Like, yeah. My husband just said to me yesterday, he goes, I feel like she hasn't had that gas in like 2 days. And so he's just like, so what happened in the last 2 days? And I'm like, is it gluten? Like, I don't really think I ate any bread or anything that has like wheat in it, because we were traveling and we were just like,
yeah. Well, you got to be careful with breads too, that there's no dairy in them.
Yeah. I was checking that.
And most of the websites have, because of people's allergies, like, even I want to say that even McDonald's French fries, you can't have.
Yep. There's milk in those.
I was like, what? Like, I was living on French fries at first. And then I was like, well, shoot, there goes that.
I looked them up and I was furious when I saw that.
Milk. Yeah. Like, you'd think it would fry off, but I was not willing to take a chance because we had so much progress. But all right, well, keep us posted.
Will do.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you.
How's your week been?
It's been good. Been good. A lot going on. I took your, what do you call it? The 5-day course. And it was really, really good. So thank you for doing that. I felt very empowered afterwards.
You're going to be here for, you'll be here for a couple more. So
yeah.
Because our next one is January 16th, I think, is when it starts.
Okay. Yeah. I'll still be here. But no, it was really good. And then I had my anatomy scan, my 20-week anatomy scan, and everything was good. They just couldn't see part of the baby. So I have a second one, but the doctor said it wasn't because they're concerned. It was just more the positioning of the baby. That
was my daughter every time.
Yeah.
And she's definitely that person. She's 17. She's still that person.
So I'll go in again at the end of this month for the second one. Okay. And I started.
Did you know what you were having before that or no?
No. I still don't know. Okay. So we're going to be surprised.
Yay.
And I started reading, Babies Are Not Pizzas.
Yeah.
Which is really good. Yeah. So last time when I went in to see the doctor, I think I had my last doctor appointment just right before Thanksgiving. I was asking him a few questions about eating during labor or fetal monitoring. And he was kind of, so he has like a clinic within a hospital. So like, he has to follow the hospital rules. And he said he's fighting the hospital on eating during labor, but that their rules are that you can't.
Well, I would inform him he has to follow them, but you do not.
Well, he basically said, I can't, he said, I'm not going to be in your room. So
yeah, that's exactly
you,
what
I was know. Like, you can, yeah. you know, you can do what you want when yeah. you're, you know, in your room. So that was fine. And then he did say about the fetal, the heart monitor, he was saying for VBAC, and I guess I just don't know enough about it, but he was saying that he does like to monitor the heart rate for VBACs, but he said he has wireless.
Yeah.
And he does encourage, a lot of movement. Okay. So, I mean, that all sounded fine with me, but I guess yeah, I just wanted.
That sounds good. Okay. If they're not into intermittent, so be it. That's what, if they have wireless, that's not one I would say argue, because you can still move.
Yeah.
And it's very lightweight and easy. And as long as it's working, there's a lot of things that interfere with them. But yeah, so that sounds good.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I guess that was one of the questions I had with him. Then I had another one, but I can't for the life of me remember right now, but I'm sure by our next happy hour, I'll remember. Right. But yeah, no. So just, I was just asking him just a bunch of questions. And he was pretty good, pretty responsive. He did say, which I thought was interesting, like he was saying on the floor, they have midwives 24/7. Oh, nice. So he said, cause I was asking him about birthing positions and, you know, I would like to move around a lot and, you know, have the baby in whatever position, came natural. And, he was very much like, yeah, we encourage that. And he goes, there's also, he was saying like, I won't be there obviously until the end, or he was like, I'll be around, but he goes, you'll have the midwives who also are excellent and they'll come in and encourage you to switch positions and stuff. So
is it a Kaiser or
pardon me?
Is it a Kaiser hospital or no?
It's TriStar Stonecrest in Smyrna.
Oh, that's right. God, why do I always forget you're here?
Yeah.
I always forget that. Yeah. Well, that sounds very advanced for a Tennessee doctor. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he left Vandy to start his own practice, nice. Basically because of the birth culture there.
Love it.
So yeah, it's been good. So yeah, that was kind of just, I think like now that I'm past the 20 weeks, I started asking more and more questions, and definitely yeah. with your, taking your 5-day course and then reading the book, I have like all these questions now for him. So yeah.
That book is so good.
It was very interesting. I just finished the chapter where she talks about like the politics within the hospital, and yeah. I would have never known any of that, but it was very eye opening. Like yeah. how
it's a really good, it's a good book. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for sharing. We're glad you're doing
thank you.
Well.
Thank
Jalen,
you.
Jalen, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
And let me show you the little guy so you can meet him.
Oh my gosh, hold on. I hit a screen and you guys disappeared. There we go. Let me put you on this mode so we can see. Oh my goodness.
It's blurry with the background.
Yeah, look at, he's like my dad with his pants all the way up. Ethan. Oh, he's so precious. Look at that. Ethan.
He is amazing, sleeps all day, but has been cluster feeding at night. So it's like,
of course,
bragging. But yeah, he's healthy. And we had him on the 22nd, did a gentle C-section, which was so different. And like, I was up that same day with my daughter. I know it was hell getting up from that bed. Like I could not, like I cried, but this time it was like nothing, like nothing. And just like the third day when we got home, the pharmacy was closed because it was Thanksgiving. So I didn't have anything for the pain.
Aye.
So that night was rough.
Do you have a binder?
They did give me one, but I'm like in between sizes. So they try to make one with like making a double one, but it wouldn't close. So the other one is like really tight.
Yeah, I would order one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get because, you know, the size is always a problem.
Yeah, it can decrease the pain. I think I have a plus size one on my list. I believe
I have to go to Amazon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that,
it can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah. I am working on getting bigger flanges for my pump because my boobs are crazy. The flange is too small and I can't. We went to like four different stores and everybody has like the standard size.
Can you order it from Amazon?
Yes, I just did. They'll get here like on the first.
Okay.
So, but it's been working. He's latching very good. I think I just pumped in like 20 minutes, almost 5 ounces. So everything's working out. Everything's
working out. I can't imagine what's going to happen when you have the correct size.
Yeah. So, I try to just like squeeze everything that I can. And I've been wearing the ladybugs.
Okay.
I get like almost 3 ounces with those just doing nothing. So it's amazing.
That is amazing. So tell everybody about your birth.
Okay, so we went in, we decided to do a scheduled C-section because so I had the cholestasis of pregnancy and then suspected preeclampsia. My blood pressure was still fine. They want me to go check it actually on Friday to make sure it's still like okay, but I just honestly, I didn't want to go through the risk of laboring and doing all the work and then ending up with another emergency C-section.
That's the number one fear that all of my girls have.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, that whole like 3 days before, you know, before heading there, it was like really emotional. And I don't know, I just was kind of grieving, you know, not having what we've been working for. I'm getting emotional right now. I don't know why.
That's stop. Okay. You're allowed.
Love you.
But nothing, everybody was so wonderful. The nurses, the doctor that brought him into this world, and I got to see him and like right away, and we did skin to skin right there in the OR. We didn't do a full hour because he was like, he kept slipping on me and it was just like kind of uncomfortable. But he went with daddy. He didn't need NICU time, so I was very relieved. That was like my main concern, that he would need, you know, to be away and not being able to be with me. But they checked him really quick, brought him right back, and we did skin to skin for like 30 minutes in the OR.
Yeah.
And he latched so good. He was like crazy. Just that first latch was amazing. And then during recovery, he had a little bit of trouble, but he's getting the hang of it again. What else?
Well, I want to go backwards a little.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have those feelings. Like, even though you made that decision, don't not allow yourself to grieve what you worked for and what you were
doing.
It's okay to feel that, even though
That whole week was I was a mess.
Yeah. And it's okay. Like, I don't want you to deny that, because that can cause you some trouble later on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but
what number baby was he? Number two, right?
He's number two. So maybe back to see. I don't know. My husband, it's kind of bringing. I think we could do a third one. It's like I don't know, but we'll see. What are you doing? Sorry, he's making funny things to make me laugh. He's in the kitchen. Nice. But yeah, overall, it was like, it was a great experience. And like at the hospital, I should have left the hospital. I was very well taken care of.
Back to real life.
I actually made kind of friends with our last nurse. She was wonderful, and she sent us home with packed with diapers and wipes, pads, and the bags for the eyes for my incision. Like anything you could think of, she hooked us up real good.
Yeah, I never understand when postpartum nurses are stingy. When I'm floating over there, I'm like, here, take it. It's yours. Have it.
Yeah,
like, and then the other ones are like, she needs another pair of underwear. And like, you didn't pay for them.
I have been living in those. Like, I was just telling my husband, like, I could just live in these forever. Like, I don't.
You know you can you know you can wash them in the sink too, right?
I saw your reel for it. Yeah.
I had no idea people didn't know that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So I've been living in those.
They're so funny.
They're like more. Big and then yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. So, also we had, I had a very, very big scare because, so my husband went to Target with her daughter because he had promise and, you know, she never forgets.
Yeah.
So I stayed home with him by myself. And it was the day that I, you know, came down the stairs and try to socialize a little bit. So they went away and I realized that he was wet all over. So I go up and I try to change his diaper, whatever. And pick him up, put him down, turn around to grab his onesie. And when I come back, he's there just chilling, eyes open. But he was bleeding a lot from his belly button. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed that he didn't have his stump. And I was like, oh my God. So I went crazy, and they were just like telling me at the hospital that something had, like, if it's just a little bit, don't pull it out, just let it fall on its own. Yeah. It could bleed a lot. And I was like, oh no, yeah, I know, like, I'm not gonna touch that. My God. And I was freaking out. So I called my husband, we went to the ER, and thankfully everything was okay. He by the time we got there, he had stopped bleeding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we did like a saline wash, and they put a Band-Aid on, and I was like, why a Band-Aid? It's gonna hurt his skin. But other than that scare, everything's been great. He is amazing. He sleeps all day.
Well, now you've graduated to the other side. You can come to the postpartum happy
right
hour.
Yeah. Daddy, close that door.
I think we have one Thursday night.
Thursday? Okay. Is it 8?
6:30, I think.
6:30, so like 7:30 for me, I think.
Yeah. Look at that little hand.
Yes, sounds good.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Wait, where is he?
Oh, yay. I'm glad. Yes. I was just about to put it back to the other view. I'm glad. Look at that little mouth.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he kind of smiled.
There we go. It's like, I'm good.
You recognize that voice? You've heard that voice.
You should
so
know
much.
My voice for a long time. You joined in June, right? The June fearless birth. I thought so.
First fearless birth.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, it's really funny because when you told me you had the baby, for some reason, I was looking at my phone and I had my glasses. I thought Devin said she had the baby. And I was like, wait, what? And then I got so confused for a few minutes and then I got straight. I was like, oh, okay, never mind. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah, good. Oh, thanks, guys. I'm going to read the comments here in a second.
Well, thank you for coming. We're happy to see you. And
thank you. To see you guys.
So amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, Brooke, how are you?
I'm good. Just trying to catch up from Thanksgiving with all the things. So glad I could pop in for a little.
Have you been on the regular VBAC hour or any happy hours?
This is my second one.
Okay. Can you tell me your information, or can you edit your name so we can know like how far along you are?
How to do that on my phone.
On your phone, go to participants, I think.
Okay.
I never use my phone. And then you find your name and click rename.
Rename. Okay. Brooke Pratt. I am 31 weeks now.
Awesome. I thought that you had been on before, but
yeah.
How are you doing? What's going on with you?
Good. Baby's moving a ton. He's like the most active baby I've had. This is my third. It's been almost 6 years since my last, but he's still transverse. I can just tell because he moves so much and I feel it on polar opposite sides of my body. So he's just
not a big deal at 31. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Had my 30-week appointment last week, and I'm here in Atlanta. The hospital I'm delivering at is Northside. It's like,
I know
that. I think it's the most babies born in a hospital ever here.
It's busy. Well, they have like what, three levels, I think. I almost took a travel assignment there and I was like, eh. It's like two levels of L&D and then maybe three levels of postpartum. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The program that has like 10 doctors, 10 midwives, and you just rotate through them because you don't know who's going to be on call, and they want you to like know, you know, get to know people. My last practice was the same doctor. He delivered all of his babies, you know, total opposite. So I'm starting to, I think I've circled through all the midwives because I was like, maybe I have better chances of a VBAC if I have a midwife in the room. But now I'm starting to meet some of the doctors, and it is such a different experience. So the one I saw last week was just like, has anyone talked to you about the risks of VBAC? And I was like, I've done my research. And he's like, okay, well, we just have to, he went through the whole spiel of like all the stuff they've seen and how many times he's had to, you know, do emergency C-sections and blah, blah, blah. And so it was a little bit like gloom and doom. And I'm just like, I was kind of, you know, waiting for this because I've started, you know, and chatting and hearing other people's experiences. And so I was just like, you know, there's this chance that you die. And I'm like, or I could like drive home and also get in a car accident.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And like, true. It's like less than 1%. So there's a couple things like someone had mentioned, their doctor also said this, like they want to do constant monitoring, but it's mobile. He just seemed a little more touchy of like, I'm like, I hope you're not on call. He seemed a little more eager to like, if anything, you know.
Yeah, he's VBAC tolerant is what we call him.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I it's hard because it's kind of up to fate, like who's on call and who's going to be.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that I can get a midwife will also be there 24/7. So I'm hoping I can keep her around as long as possible.
Well, if she's there 24/7, then I don't see why not.
Right.
And just remembering that even if he is, you can refuse his guidance, you know, so it's just, you know, being, and also keeping in mind, like there's a plus and a minus to delivering at a hospital of that magnitude. It's almost like a machine. So you have to definitely be strong-willed and willing to verbalize and advocate. But at the same time, they see so much and do so much that it may just go perfectly wonderful and no, you know, adversity. It just depends on who you get.
Right.
But I would definitely shoot towards the midwives.
Yeah. I did ask him, he said that, and this is different from what I heard earlier in the practice, even he said, they'll let me go to 41 weeks. And I think they were also open.
Bothered me so much when they use the word let.
Yeah.
Why can't they say we prefer?
I'm like, what if I just don't show up for my C-section? Like, what's going to happen? Going to come me up at my house and, you know, but they suggested I go ahead and schedule it just so I can get like,
I wouldn't do it.
Better.
No,
I think I don't be like a back, you know, like in the back of my mind, you know,
no, I wouldn't do it. Here's the thing. Do you guys really think if someone comes off the street needing a C-section, they're like, oh, sorry, we have 6 C-sections scheduled today. We can't get you in.
Right.
That's bullshit. And what that is they're trying to, like, a lot of times it's that doctor trying to get you to schedule for them, you know. Now in a practice like yours, it may not be the case, but they want to get those time slots for the scheduled cesareans, because if you walk in and need one, you bump them all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yeah.
I think he might have said they would. I can't remember if he said that they can do low dose of Pitocin, but I think he said that they would do that. So
yeah, he should. That should not be complicated at all.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you mean for a VBAC? Yes. I'm sorry. Right. I'm like, why could he not do that? Never mind. No. I forgot he was
surprised after the whole like gloom and doom death conversation.
Well, it doesn't sound too horrible. It could be a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he's off kind of being, you know, but I was just kind of like, I've been expecting this conversation, you know, I'm ready for this conversation.
Yeah. That's why I love when you guys get to me earlier so that things like that don't throw you, because if you're not a student or you navigate that on your own without understanding, that could really throw you for a couple weeks, if not longer. If not
babies, I totally would just be like, whatever you say, you know? I just want everyone to be safe, whatever you think.
Isn't that scary to think about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'm just watching the baby, like looking around, and she looks just like Emily. Does she not? Yes, she does.
You think?
Oh,
I don't think she looks like me at all, hardly.
I do. Does anybody else see that? Yeah, I think she does.
She has my husband's eyes.
Oh, but see, I totally thought she had your nose and your eyes. She's smiling. She's like, I think so too. Of course. Hi. Well, at least you wake up happy. Mommy was telling bad stories about you.
She woke up and was like, did like 2 big burps. That's always what happens. She has like very wet sounding burps when she wakes up.
Gassy girl. One day you'll be mortified that mom told us all that. Well, thank you for sharing, Brooke. It's so good when you have providers that have like leaned towards some of the things that give you more chances at having a successful VBAC, but really
strong.
It really is just you guys like, and being willing to like stand up and not be stupid. You don't want to be, you know, like I tell you guys, we can refuse whatever we want, but should you always have to question, like, okay, is this a time where I'm being stubborn and I'm not like looking at the evidence and looking at the situation and making a choice based on what's best as opposed to what I want, you know? So just having to be willing, but also willing to speak up and say, like, you know, I'm not going to schedule that cesarean because I don't want that hanging over me. I don't want that out, you know?
Yeah.
And then like with Jalen, like, you know, as tough as it was, and we all saw the emotions that she is feeling, but for them, what ultimately led to more peace for her was to schedule a repeat cesarean. Does that mean she can't ever have a VBAC? No. If there's another baby, we can shoot for that. But it's just being able to like own those emotions and own those decisions. And it doesn't always go the way we want it to. We may have to make the decision like Emily. Emily, same thing. Like, it was just best and it sucked and we all grieved with her, you know? And if you guys haven't watched some of the past VBAC happy hours with Emily and some of the path she's gone down, I highly recommend it because it's been good. Like, especially the one where she reads the letter she wrote to her asshole doctor with his big old hands. I can't even, this guy, you guys, we've heard some pretty unbelievable statements, but that guy kind of, He took the cake with some of it. Although, Emily, were you, I don't remember if it was the VBAC lab or Calm Labor, the one, the provider ripped her birth plan in half?
Oh, no, mine didn't do that.
No, I know yours didn't, but I couldn't remember if it was a VBAC student or a Calm Labor student. Like, came in her
room. Sounds familiar, but.
I feel like it was a VBAC student. I don't remember the exact details because it's been a while, but came in her room and basically, like, ripped it in half. Like, I don't remember his exact reasons, not that it was acceptable in any way, but it was like, are these people for real right now? Like, who are you? Like, come on. I can't even. Some of these providers have such a, like, God complex, and, like, that's so unacceptable. Like, she spent time working on that and creating it. Even if you, like, don't agree with any of it or think it's whatever, like, to rip it is a pretty bold statement. Yeah, I would have written him up to the entire hospital. Like, I would have, that would have been that, you know, or her. I don't even remember if it was a him or a her, but yeah. Does anybody else have any other questions or anything there?
I was just gonna say that I turned in my birth plan today and I didn't meet with the doctor. It was a PA, and I meet with the doctor on Monday, and I'm bringing my doula with me because I know he also wants to check me. And me telling him that I didn't want to be checked or have a cervical exam was like how the whole situation went into uproar the first time. So yeah. I'm going to bring my doula with me. And
well, you know, the other thing you don't do is don't take your clothes off.
Right.
He's not going to waste time once he gets into that room and you're not dressed. He's just going to be an ass and leave.
Right.
Because they only have a slotted amount of time. Mm-hmm. So when the nurse tells you to get undressed for the exam, you don't even have to acknowledge her. Just don't be undressed when he comes in.
Yeah. It's so bad though, that I feel like I'm going to be retaliated against. Like, I haven't written, I get asked for reviews all the time. And like, I got asked for a review after that big appointment with him. And I just was like, I'm going to wait until after I have this baby to write a review because it's going to be pretty obvious that it came from me.
Really interesting that they're asking you to write a review before you actually have the baby with this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's scary.
And I don't
hurry and write it before you really know what we're like.
I know. And I don't get it. Like, I don't get the request to write a review when I meet with the PA.
This guy must need it.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you read his reviews? I'm a little interested.
Yeah, they're actually good. I mean,
probably because they're prior to birth.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I'm in a, I don't know, there's one group locally out of Syracuse, and I joined specifically to kind of ask people, you know, recommendations, and he was highly recommended for VBAC, especially.
Remind me your bad experience with him. I know it.
Yeah. But they scheduled my C-section for 40 and three. Right.
And you get charged.
You get charged if you cancel or reschedule.
They scheduled it.
Yep. Yep. and so I just, you know, kind of approached, my intention was to kind of talk to him about that specifically.
Well, tell him if he charges you that when you get your V back, that Labor Nurse Mama will write a review on Instagram and tag him
back. Tag him. That. He did tell me
if he likes reviews, try that one.
Yeah. He did tell me though, that like, if I went in naturally, or even if I went in at 40 and three and they induced, they're not going to charge me. But like, basically I think that if I don't show up, he would charge me 100% guaranteed.
Okay. I'm so confused. Ruth, did you share? I don't think she did. Did she? Did she just pop on here, or did I miss her altogether?
Oh, I was here earlier and then I went off.
Okay. I thought that I saw your name earlier, but then I'm like, did I? Oh, sorry, Devin. Did I interrupt you?
Good.
I just got so confused there for a second. I want to hear how you're doing. How are you? I can't believe you're 32 weeks.
Yes, I know. I just left my chiropractor appointment. I was having like hip pain and I was limping. So it was like really painful. I just had to come on here immediately. Yeah. So
How are you now? Are you having any relief or pretty much in pain?
The pain is now, it's manageable now. So, because okay. when I came in, it was like a 5 and now it's just like a 2.
Okay.
Yeah. And
what was his recommendation? Like, does he think it might be sciatica?
She said it's more, I forgot the term she just used. It's a she actually.
Okay.
Yeah, she said it was more like in the hip, like okay. the pelvis is fine, but it's more like in the hip.
Okay.
Like left. Yeah.
Well, the sciatica can cause hip pain.
Okay.
Very bad. I feel like, cause I had that with Grayson and I used a heating pad on that area. That okay. help it somewhat.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Pregnancy is so much fun. Is it not?
I know. Yeah. Right now I'm just like most of it was like lower pelvic pressure or pain.
Yeah.
And they said it was normal with pregnancy. So
yeah.
most of it, I just got like a maternity belt and that helped a little bit. So on days when I'm limping, then I come to the chiropractor to yeah. just make
I'm
sure
it's adjusted. I wonder if like a pelvic girdle would help hold, like, have, you know okay. what I mean? Like kind of pull up and hold everything together. Hold everything. Yeah.
Okay. Is that different from a maternity belt?
Yeah. I mean, does
oh, the pelvic okay.
girdle is more like with the panties and everything. Like,
oh, almost,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's different types you can get, but maybe one that just holds the whole area.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And you can, you can also wear, like, you know, think like compression underwear, or like Spanx or something like yes. that. And then you yes. could wear the belt over it if you need extra support.
Okay. Okay. Sounds yeah. good.
Well,
yeah.
I hope you feel better. Did you have any
questions? Thank you. Or? Yes, I actually did. So I know they talk about doing like kick counts and everything, but I just read this post on Facebook. Like one of the groups I saw, and she said like she noticed her child, like the movement, she will still feel movements once in a while, but that she it was kind of like reduced or something, I can't really remember. And yeah. then some of the moms were commenting how like the child had the cord around the neck twice, and even though you would feel movements, it won't be as like much or something. So yeah, I was kind of confused about that because like how would I know?
You don't need to worry about any of that. Okay. You just pay attention to your baby's pattern. Most okay. babies have a pattern of movement. Okay. And okay. if you feel even like, okay, the baby's not moving as much as normal, always get it checked out. Like you don't okay. want to be like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like crazed. But yes. if you feel like you can drink something very sugary, very sweet, lay down, count the movements. But even if you're like, okay, this is not my baby's normal pattern, have it checked yes. out, you know, if okay. that continues. So
okay.
But don't
okay.
worry about that. I mean, my daughter had a triple nuchal cord and I never had one. That's around the neck three times.
Yeah.
Not one indication that there was something going on. And thank God it was my fifth baby because it could have been more serious, but I never had any indication. It's so common to have a cord around the neck, like people
okay
which is very very common, and usually it doesn't cause an issue
okay
you know, so yeah, I wouldn't, don't let that stress you out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And your baby's yeah. just, you know, 28-29 weeks is when the baby really starts establishing a pattern. You
yes.
should start really knowing the pattern here right around now.
Okay, yeah, that was my concern because I'm like, I know I haven't like felt him move for a very long time until recently, and now starting to learn. So like, how will I know what his patterns are like? If yeah.
Well, and I always say this is something I do not mess around with. If you think there's something going on. I don't care if you go to L&D like 6 times during your pregnancy. Who cares? We don't care. We want you to be wrong. We want you to be like hypervigilant, you know? Yeah. So, because it really is the only way to know that the baby's getting the proper amount of oxygen is movement. Because a baby who's not getting oxygen is going to conserve their movements.
Yeah, I'll start to pay more attention and just see with that.
This week, you guys, tomorrow night at 6:30 is the Dr. Krupa is coming. She's a pediatrician. She's going to talk about having a baby during the winter, or like protecting your baby. I feel like no matter when your baby's due, like I would come and like let, she's going to teach you guys, and then she's going to do like a Q&A, but very mindful that it's not medical advice. unlike me that just blabs crap, which is not medical advice, but I know Devin's going to be there for sure. Going to move her through those fears. And then I think we have a prenatal yoga class on Thursday morning. And she's so good. Anytime I've moderated it and I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, I wish I would have done this. It's prenatal and postnatal, Emily. Like, she's amazing. Yeah. So I love Deb so much. She's so good. All right, you guys. And then you know, Emily, that we have the postpartum happy hour Thursday. So we'll see you there. All right, you guys, have a great week. All right, bye.
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 Thank you.